You guys may be seated. One of the things that I love to do, if even in my mind's eye, is to focus in on the river of God. You know, that image is so prevalent in Scripture that it talks about this river of life that flows from the throne of God. And whatever I need is going to be found there. You know, sometimes it's the healing touch of the water. Sometimes it's the challenge of learning to swim in deeper water. Sometimes it's drowning that I need. And I know that sounds so crazy and violent, but God knows what we need. Let's find our way down to the river and let him have his way in our heart. Let's sing the river. Again, there's a lot of different reasons why you may find yourself at church. I always get a kick out of those who come with different reasons. Sometimes it's a business thing. Sometimes it's a lonely thing. And some of those reasons are good. Sometimes it's a guilt thing. My mama used to grab me by the ear and take me to church. And so it feels like it's weird if I go a Sunday without it. All those reasons are interesting. But the biggest and the only reason that we should be here is for him. Amen? I hope that you see him today. Because in him you would be changed. Let's sing "Here for You."
Let our praise be your welcome.
he draws near, certainly our perspective changes. And I hope that no matter what you're facing, you allow his vision to be in you so that you can see a way through it. He is a way maker. Let's sing it. Well, again, you know, it doesn't matter what we face. I was talking with Lisa before service began, and we were just saying there's days when it feels like you're asked to walk through the fiery furnace, and then there's other days where it feels like you're crossing the Jordan into the promised land. The beauty is that no matter what we face, we can trust him. No matter what we face, he's in control. No matter what we face, there's no need to panic. We need to just share every moment with him because we can trust the character of God because he's proven himself to be a good, good father. I hope that if you need this song this morning, that would encourage your heart. Let's sing. Good news is that even in the chaos, he is still in control. You know, we've started this series called Kingdom Come, and I've been grateful for it. I've been grateful for it in this, is that it's really allowed me to focus in because we're living in crazy times, amen? Like I was watching, you know, even in our own government saying they're going to start taxing those who are unvaxxed, and the numbers and all those things that make no sense to us. They keep saying, well, we know what's going on, so this is what we're going to do. I'm going, if you don't know that you don't know what's going on by now, you are a mess, right? Because they keep making some pretty interesting choices. And that's okay. It doesn't matter what's going on in our world, because it's the world that we seek and the world that is trying to come now, the kingdom that has come now, that we should be focusing on. And so last week we talked about this, right? That there was two main concepts that we wanted to share with you, that the kingdom of God is a physical place, amen? It's a physical place. John saw it in his vision in Revelation, right? That Christ will return and take us to the place where there is no more tears, amen? No more sickness, no more pain, no more death. Boy, where the streets are even paved with gold. The New Jerusalem, heaven, it's a place. But also last week, we wanted to remind you that it's also an ideal, a present reality, an ongoing possibility for those who believe, a thing that you and I can experience from day to day, and we don't want you to miss the invitation to join in. Right? Summed up in Matthew 6, when Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The Father who is in heaven, the place, right? The place that is approaching quickly, the New Jerusalem that is coming to us, right? The Father who is in heaven, that place, his will should be accomplished on earth. That's the principle. A place and a principle where the kingdom comes and intersects with our world. A place and a principle all together in partnership that awaits those who have the courage to grasp it. And again, last week I tried to be clear that, you know what, we need to really understand that this is a lifestyle. It's not a denomination, right? And denominations are great and they have their place. And it's not a church, and I love churches, right? And churches are great and they have their place. But this is so much bigger than that. This is a life choice. It's bigger than a church project, right? And all those things are good, but it's so much bigger than that, because we saw in the last 2 years how sometimes the church can be set aside, it can be shut down, it can be obsolete, but guess what? Just because the church is closed doesn't mean the kingdom is. Just because the projects are put on hold, it doesn't mean that the kingdom isn't moving in vast ways. If we would only take the time to see it, we would understand that the kingdom wants to touch us every day. And despite that invitation that God gives to us, I'm kind of amazed at those who still ignore or dismiss the kingdom of God. And why do they do that? Well, again, we talked about it last week. Sometimes we feel insecure, don't we? We feel unworthy, right? Like, God is doing things, and God is moving mountains, and God is changing the globe. But he can't use me. You know what? I just don't have the right gifts. Have you ever argued with yourself? Right? I just don't know enough scripture, Pastor. I'm not gifted in that way. So you know what? God can't use me. Or you know what? My past is so great. I just don't see how he can overcome it. And so the excuses are varied, but we refuse to join in the kingdom. And if it's not just excuses, then there's times where we are so unaware of the kingdom. Why? Because we're too busy building our own kingdom, making our own plans, dreaming our own dreams. And while the kingdom awaits us, the kingdom of God awaits us, we're building the castles in the sand, and we try to schedule God into our lives. And this isn't about Sunday, folks. This is about a day-to-day. That even when COVID shuts it all down, the kingdom is bigger than the church, and the kingdom should be bigger than your schedule. Well, today we're going to draw from the teachings of Christ, and it's kind of interesting if you want to look this up in Matthew 13. Jesus has some incredible teachings about the kingdom of God, and it's kind of encouraging. It'd be a good thing to read over this week. We're going to deal with a small passage of that. But in this teaching, Jesus is met with a big crowd, which was kind of one of the things that he had to deal with often, right? And so there's this big crowd, and so the crowd is pushing in on him. What he does is he gets into a boat, and whether he wanted to just simply be a little more comfortable or to let the water be an amplifier for his voice. He pulls out from shore just a little bit, and he starts to teach this huge crowd that was there. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in a field. Awesome, right? Again, think of that illustration, and as you know that story, you'll see that some good things happen to the seed and some bad things happen to the seed, and it's the soil is very important. He also goes on to teach that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. So small, right? But when you look at the mustard plant and the mustard tree, then all of a sudden you'll understand that it takes over the countryside if only the mustard seed would be planted. He goes into talking about the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into the dough. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake, and there's a great catch. It's amazing. But we're going to look at verses 44 to 46. Jesus says this. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went out and sold all that he had, and then he bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls, and when he finds one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it. An interesting kind of little story, but it paints a picture that hopefully we don't forget too soon, right? Because there's many people who, when I talk to them, they get frustrated when I talk about the kingdom. Now, their frustration comes from, they'll say to me, Pastor, you know what? I don't know how to hear God. I don't hear him. And when I talk about seeing him, that drives them nuts. How could you see God? How could you hear God? And then we throw this ball back and forth. And the reality of the kingdom becomes very hard for them to grasp because all the while, the kingdom of God and spiritual things are on the move, but we don't see very naturally with our human eyes spiritual things, do we? Our ears are not always tuned in to spiritual tunes and to God's voice. And so those are disciplines. But here's the myth. The myth is this, is that the kingdom is so far above me that it's out of reach, Pastor. The kingdom is so far above me, it's just out of reach. I'm just not made that way. But here, the teaching of Christ says, yes, if it's hidden, right? Kingdom of God is hidden in a field. The kingdom of God was among a whole bunch of these precious gems, right? But here it is. It's hidden in plain sight. You see, the kingdom of God is going to be found by those who seek it. This promise that if we would seek, then truly we would find, right? And so there's two things that I kind of want to highlight today in the scripture that we read. The number one is this, is that the kingdom is there for any one of us to find. The kingdom awaits you. We only need to seek and we would find it. And then if we find it, the second thing is this, is that if we truly see with kingdom eyes, if we truly hear with kingdom ears, if we truly get in tune with the kingdom, then it becomes the only thing that matters. It becomes precious and it becomes our focus. So let's talk about this principle that the kingdom is to be found. You see, those who are searching will find it. It's waiting to be discovered in the everyday muck of life. God dreams for you. Think about that. He dreams for you to partner with him and be linked together in kingdom things. And often we have a hard time saying, you know what, the kingdom. But the kingdom, isn't it a mystical thing? Like we think if we are to find the kingdom of God, then all of a sudden the clouds are going to part. The ray is going to come down. There's going to be a big booming voice of God. The angels are going to be singing, and there's going to be a waterfall behind us because it's supposed to be picturesque because somehow we've got that in our head that it's supposed to be this supernatural thing. No. Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is buried in the muck. It's in the common field. And you see, sometimes that's foreign for us. Why? Because for centuries, what did the church do? The church tried to keep the common man from God. That, you know what? They want it to be useful. They want it to be relevant. They wanted power, and they liked what that brought them. So the kingdom of God was kept out of the reach of common man. And Jesus here, his own words, debunk that myth that God's kingdom is for all. It's to be found in the everyday of life. It's in the common grounds that you and I tread. It's just sitting in the fields. And yet so many miss it. because they still buy the lie that it's for those that are holier than us, for those that are better than us, those who behave better, those who are more spiritual, those who are more prepared than us, those who have better skills or gifts than us. No, you know what? The kingdom of God awaits you. Just as you are in a world that's messy, it awaits you. The kingdom calls to you. And I was thinking about that this week. I was going, okay, if you're sick, you go to a doctor. Makes sense. If your marriage is struggling, hopefully you have the wisdom to go see a marriage counselor or couples that have maybe had some success in that area to get some advice. If your car starts making a noise and you're not mechanically inclined, what do? You take it to a mechanic, right? If you have a toothache, you go to the dentist. Well, here it is. If God is the answer to life's problems, doesn't it make sense that the kingdom of God will come in the midst of even those problems? That God wants to show us how our everyday is surrounded by greater things. And how many would say that, you know what? Wow, it's been pretty mucky. My life has been pretty gross. It's been pretty muddy. The last 2 years, right? It's not just COVID. It's relationships that are being strained. It's bank accounts that are being strained. It's work that sometimes is canceled. It's all of these ever-changing regulations. You know what? It's pretty muddy out there right now, isn't it? And there's times when I just turn the news off. We've had enough. It's muddy. Well, guess what? The kingdom of God is in the mud. It's found in the field. It's out in the water where so many of us in our community make our living. It's found in the school. It's found in the back rooms of the office. It's found in the aisles of the grocery store. The kingdom of God is found in parking lots all around town. It's found in the rink when it's open. It's under the car if you'll find it and seek it when you're changing your very own oil. It's out in the trail, in the woods, if you go for a walk to try to escape. It's there when you're trying to prepare an evening family meal. It's there while you're doing the laundry. The point is this, is that every one of us has an opportunity to discover the kingdom in the mundane things of life. If we would only seek, we would find. At those moments when you're frustrated, but you're smart enough to pray, guess what happens? Things change, don't they? And yet, you know what? Sometimes in the midst of the chaos that we've been living, we sometimes go to prayer as a last resort instead of our first turn. You see, the merchant was looking for fine pearls, and he found, because he was seeking. And the kingdom of God is not meant to elude you. It invites you into the everyday. The mundane things is where the adventure lies if we would only seek it. And those are divine appointments. Do you ever have them? Divine appointments, sure you have. And maybe you didn't even know what they were called, but that's what they are. Those moments when you say, wow, Andrew, let me tell you, you won't believe what happened to me today. Yes, I would. Because the heaven awaits you. The kingdom awaits you. Wow, you'd never guess who I ran into today. It was, seems like it was meant to be, Andrew. Yes, I'd believe that. Because in our chaos, the kingdom waits to join us. God wants to join us in the chaos, and his goal is to bring order to it. To be seen despite the chaos. To cover you with peace and direction in the darkest of moments. And more than that, he wants you to share that hope and that love that you have with others. Divine appointments. Those moments are to become your normal. And again, how do we know that these divine appointments wait? It's because it's found in Scripture. Like I think of that 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Right, as you understand slowness, instead he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. But that principle that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Do you know that divine appointments wait you right now, every day, in everything that you do? If we would only seek, we would find. And I'm telling you, most of mine don't happen in the church. Now, because of what I do, a lot of them do happen in the church. I have people in the community who say, Andrew, we got to talk. And I go, oh. Okay, and then we schedule a meeting, right? And I never know what I'm getting into. A lot of those divine appointments, people don't necessarily come to this church at all. In fact, I don't see them. They're friends, they're acquaintances, but they know what I do, so all of a sudden they want to talk. So some of those divine appointments happen here because they're scheduled. But for the most part, my divine appointments happen in the parking lots. They happen over lunch. They happen over coffee. Do you know that when I go to check the mail, I usually have to make sure I don't have anything within 45 minutes because going to get the mail is not just an in and out for me. Going to get the mail. And I stagger my time. I do everything I can so that my day won't be interrupted and divine appointments follow me because it doesn't matter when I go down there. It seems like the right person is there. And 45 minutes later, I'm getting to check my mail. You see, they happen on the coffee breaks. Those divine appointments happen on the wharf. They happen at the gas station because kingdom things are always happening. If we would be alert, we'd see it. And guess what? When you started to see it, when you started to see the kingdom of God, it would become intoxicating. It would become all-consuming. It would take over. And guess what? It should take over your life. Because God wants to use your whole life. He wants the kingdom to be our vision. And you know what? This is the way it goes. When all of a sudden we get saved, and you know what? We're told, okay, you need to be discipled. What is discipling? Well, you need to read your Bible a little bit. You maybe need to get a devotional book. You know what? You need to take time for church on Sunday. And all of a sudden we start to teach people that you need to schedule God into your life. Okay, I understand the discipline of that. The problem is God doesn't want to be a part of your schedule. Do you know that God should be your schedule? Big difference. He's bigger than Sunday. He's bigger than the Bible study. He's bigger than the devotional book that you're reading right now. He's bigger than your denomination. He's bigger than your church. He wants to be there every moment of every day. He wants to be the schedule. To be about your time. To be about your friendships. The kingdom wants to be about your marriage, folks. The kingdom wants to be about your work, about your play, about your finances, about your vacation, about your day-to-day activities. The kingdom awaits you. And when we start to see it and we start to react and we start to live that way, it becomes intoxicating. And God longs to lead you through everything. I was thinking about that this week, and I was thinking of our home. I've been spending a little more time home because my mom's here and we've had storms. So I'm plowing out. What do? You think, or you sing loudly to yourself because the snowblower is really loud. So most of the time I've just been thinking, and I was going, I'm so blessed to have the home that we have. And I think back when Allison and I were looking for a home in Digby, there was a place just up the road here that we were looking at. And it was a beautiful little home. It seemed to meet all of our needs. And we kind of said, you know what, that's kind of a nice home. And I said, well, why don't we put an offer in on that home? So we prayed about it. We put an offer in on that home, but our prayer was this. We said, Lord, if it's meant to be, give us that place, and if it's not meant to be, then keep it from us. So we put an offer on the home, and the people said, that's great. You're going to give us that? I said, yeah. And I said, if you guys will accept that offer. Then all of a sudden, we started to find out that the couple that was selling the home had some relationship problems. They found out what I did, and so they wanted to talk. And we said, okay. So we started to talk. I started to give them marriage counseling. The marriage counseling went on for 2 months. At the end of the 2 months, they kind of felt healthy enough. They felt together enough that they could make this decision together. And they said, yep, we're going to sell our home. I said, great. So do you accept our offer? And they said, no, yesterday somebody made a bigger offer. Really? Lord, I have given months to these people of counsel. I have given them my time. I have sacrificed my family. And you know what? Somebody came in with a bigger offer, and they're just dismissing mine. Are you kidding me? And I said, this sounds so chaotic. And I said to Allison, I said, you know what? This isn't the right place. And so again, we said, Lord, we asked you to close the door or open the door. It seems you closed the door. Now we're asking you to open another one. So we started to look. All of a sudden, we found the home that we're in now. And I said, this is crazy. We already live on Bel Air. We're just down the road. This is weird. Like, what is God doing? And I was thinking of the blessings of the home. I was thinking of how many friends have gathered at our fire pit. and shared their hurts and shared their victories, that sometimes we go out there to have a s'more night as a family, and people will be driving by the house and they'll see the fire on, and they just turn around in the next parking lot and they come back up. And what started out with a s'mores for four ended up being about 30 people around a campfire, everybody talking and singing and being silly. I thought of the garage. The other place didn't have a garage. And yet how many guys have come over and sat in my garage, and their purpose was, I just got to change my oil. And before I know it, they're crying and pouring out their life in the garage. I was thinking of a yard. We got a double lot over there, full lots, and I pay less than a half a lot in Digby because my house is just on the town line, so I'm actually in the municipality. And I was thinking about how many kids our kids have brought over and how many times we've played in that yard and all the memories that we made and the meals that we've had out there at the picnic table. And I just go, Lord, you've given us everything and more. I was thinking of the blessing. That other place didn't have a fire pit. That other place was hard to find. That other place was stuck back on a weird place of a weird property line. It had no garage. It had no easy access. And I was thinking, God, thank you for knowing what we needed and bringing the kingdom. Bringing the kingdom. So many kingdom things have happened at that property. And so we're called to hold nothing back but to embrace the kingdom of God, to jump in and let him lead to divine appointment after divine appointment. The kingdom of God awaits you. The adventure awaits you. And it's found right in the muck of everyday life. Every asset you have, every dream you have, every moment you have, every passion you have, every love you have, every hobby you have, every task you have, the kingdom is waiting to be consuming. In this reality, and I say it all the time, that God is not looking for part-time believers. He's looking for those who will chase after the kingdom with all that they have, sell all that they have to grab what is precious. That's when the journey becomes exciting. You know, and while we're waiting for the trumpet to sound, whoo, I want the trumpet to sound. I'm still looking for the divine appointment of today to dive in, to experience the adventure, so that while I'm waiting, God is still moving. Even when the church is closed, God is on the move in the day-to-day. Everybody bow your heads. Whew. If you haven't understood this, you need to know that everything that's happening in the world and all of the mess from work to vaccines to pandemics that don't seem to be going away, you need to know that people are seeking. They're looking for answers. Do you know that there's divine appointments awaiting you? People that are longing to be heard. People that are longing to share your calm. People that are longing to talk about biblical things. There are people who need you to say hi in the midst of the storm and then really listen to their answer. All over the kingdom is happening. If we'd only seek, we'd find. So here's what I want. Oh, that we would be a church that would do this first. We'd pray for the return of Christ. You know what? When you start to pray that Christ would return, it changes the way you live and what you think is important because it becomes urgent. It becomes everything. If you knew Jesus was coming back in an hour from now, think about how exciting that would be and how it would change your next hour. Well, that's what I want us praying for. I want us to pray that the kingdom would come because it would fill us with a zeal and a passion. We'd be so alert and watching and waiting. It would be amazing. But I also want us to do this, not just pray that Jesus would return with the New Jerusalem, but I pray that we would be seeking and praying for divine appointments. Lord, while I wait, what are you doing? Because I want to be about my Father's work. That while I'm waiting, I want to be a light. While I'm waiting, I want to give an answer for the hope that I have. While I'm waiting, I want to meet needs as you provide. While I'm waiting, I want to be love and hope
like you've been to me. So bring the divine appointments. Bring the divine appointments. I want a seeking the kingdom to come, and I want a seeking the kingdom that has come now. And you know what? It's going to change everything that we are. Oh, that you would rise to that challenge and do that. Like that will change your life. Let's do this. Let's pray together. Father God, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for the promise of heaven, and I believe that the New Jerusalem is close. Lord, some of the things that are happening in the world, we were absolutely know that they were going to happen. That shouldn't make us frustrated. It should excite us. Lord, I pray that we'd be found excited. We'd be found praying for your return. We'd be listening for the horn, the trumpet to sound. And Lord, that would excite us. But while we wait, Father God, I pray that you put an urgency within us that right now, even when church is closed, you are not. Even when we're unable to get together, you are still moving. And Father God, you are the one who has divine appointment after divine appointment awaiting us right in the muck of where we live, in the common everyday fields. If we would only seek, we would find, we would find, we would find. I pray that we would be seeking, we'd be seeking. We'd be seeking the New Jerusalem, and we'd be seeking your leading for each new day, the adventure that you would have for us. Father God, oh, let your kingdom come. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you guys, and have an incredible week in the Lord.